Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Wednesday. Say hello to John McClain down in Houston. HoustonTexans.com is where you can find his work. John, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are y'all?
We are doing fantastic. It's scheduled release day coming up tonight, and we're seeing some things leaking out there. So do you have the Houston Texans schedule yet? You ready to just put it out there?
Nope. What I'm doing is, since I know they're playing, I'm writing a predictions story for HoustonTexans.com, and so I'm doing that right now. So when I get the schedule today, I can just move them around like chess pieces and put them in order, and then put in one of wins nationally televised, wins primetime, and do it like that. But it's amazing how much mileage and publicity the NFL schedule gets. I was talking to a former player Monday about the way the schedule used to come out. It was put out in a release. They'd have a quote from a coach, or they might make a coach available over at their Oilers' former offices, and we'd go over there and get a couple of quotes. You write it, and it was a one-day deal. No speculation ahead of time. Schedule's going to come out. And things I always look at, I always look at the first game. I look at the last game. I look at the AFC South game, specifically when they play the Titans in Nashville. And then I look primetime, nationally televised. Last year, Texans coming off such a bad season. They didn't have a primetime game when the schedule came out. It was media Valhalla. All the times were 12 o'clock, except one. Last game of the year at Indy was to be determined. Turned out to be really, really smart because the game was for the AFC South title. It was put in primetime. Texans won a close game to win the division. So I'm curious to see how many primetime games they're going to get this year because they're kind of the darlings of the NFL, which I don't really understand because they've had one good season and they play a first-place schedule with five defending division champions, including Cowboys being a crossover game in AT&T Stadium. So the schedule is going to be so much harder for the AFC South teams because last year it played the worst division in football, the NFC South. And I know the Texans crossover game was Arizona here. Now it's at Dallas. So schedule is going to be a lot tougher for all the AFC South teams. Could be. They could be better and still not have three teams finished with winning records.
I'll just make a prediction, John, and I will say Cowboys-Texans will be a Sunday night game.
Well, I think that would be great. It was the last time they played here, 18, and it was overtime and it was prime time, and the Texans won. And then even when they were terrible 2 years ago, they lost up there by four. I'd like to see it on Thanksgiving because one of the best regular season games I've ever seen was 1979, and that was the last time we had a team in the AFC Championship game. And the Oilers played at the Cowboys on Thanksgiving, and the Oilers won 30-24. Cowboys were really good. Oilers were really good. Earl Campbell, Dan Pastorini, Campbell had a great game. And that was probably the most popular season that the Oilers ever had. Not that they cut into the Cowboys' popularity in the state, but it was like a lot of people started to like and respect them, too, because of Bum Phillips and Earl Campbell and Dan Pastorini and a lot of Hall of Famers on defense, three of them. And they were a fun team to cover and a fun team to watch. So I have special memories, so I'm pulling for Thanksgiving, but I bet you they're going to put them on there against Washington or the Giants or the Eagles, and hopefully it'll be Texans will be prime time.
We're talking to the great John McClain on the Chase and Big Joe show. And, John, we could probably do a two-hour show on this, but do you know exactly how the scheduling works at the NFL? Is there a contact with each of the 32 teams that work together? They get in a big office? Because I got to think there's a lot of logistic nightmares you have to go through to get this schedule out.
It's not nearly nightmarish as it used to be when so many teams shared baseball stadiums. when teams used to play in the same stadium as baseball. Remember in 2013 after the Ravens beat the 49ers in the Super Bowl, and they're supposed to play on Thursday night the next year, but the Orioles were playing on Thursday night. The Orioles wouldn't move it to the day, and so I think the Ravens had to play on the road. And that was not even playing in the same stadium. That's the stadiums are next door to each other.
Wow.
And usually baseball will take a back seat to football and try to accommodate football, but they would not. And so Peter King did a great story one time. He sat in on several days of them putting the schedule together. And all the problems. You have to look at a stadium. Okay, you already got the Rolling Stones scheduled then. Well, nobody changes for the Stones. So they had to look at things like that. They had to look at things like conventions, that had monstrous conventions that had been scheduled way ahead of time. And it is still nightmarish because just so much. The international games, you think, okay, NFL wants to play on this day. No big deal. The Premier League, the most popular league in the world, is playing at Tottenham Stadium, so we'll have to get another date. And I have no clue what it was like down in Sao Paulo, Brazil, because, it's been very quiet about how it came about, but it is a big deal. And Peter wrote at the time, when they finished, it was like they were all just ready to pop a top on some champagne or some beer. And he said a lot of owners will try to use connections with the league office. Hey, Roger, can you give us a primetime game against this team on this date? And he'll say, we'll do everything we can to accommodate you, but I don't do that. Well, you sign off on it. So there's a lot of people trying to maneuver. And I just think it's fascinating what they go through. And I also think it's fascinating, almost flabbergasting, at how much attention the schedule release is going to get, considering we've known who they're going to play since the end of last season.
Oh, they do such a magical job with all this. We're talking to John McClain here on the Chasing Big Joe Show. All right, so I know they made a rule a couple years ago about the last game of the season will be in division. What about start? I would love to see, John, the Titans start off against the Texans down in Houston, because I think the NFL is slowly trying to build this rivalry, even though they won't come out and admit it, because there's now a rivalry between these two teams, and it goes back to the uniforms. You know all about it. I would love to see that opening the season in division games, if you can. Your thoughts on that?
For some reason, they do every once in a while. Texans have opened against the Jaguars before, but generally they don't, and I'm not sure why. And because the more important the game, and it's not what you do in September and October, but November and December, but still, when you play early, you should be healthier. And that's the thing about Patrick Mahomes going against Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow. It's early in the season, so everybody should be relatively healthy. And by the end of the year, they're dragging because of all the injuries. And I like the fact that they finish with a division game. 2 years ago, the Texans won a great game in Indy that cost them Bryce Young. Last year, they won a great game in Indy that won in the division, and I'm guessing this year they're not going to close with Indy. It would be with the Jaguars or the Titans. But as far as opening, they just have – there's never been a movement, Joe, to have teams open within the division.
We will have more with John McClain coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Continuing our conversation with John McClain, HoustonTexans.com is where you can find his work. And John, we're schedule release season, but also Hard Knocks season, I guess. The HBO and Max have announced that Hard Knocks is doing a off-season version with the New York Giants. We've seen this over the last few years. They have an in-season version, the traditional training camp version. I will still pay attention, but it doesn't have the same, I guess, shine that it used to. And I feel like that, you know, we love this inside, you know, the walls and all that stuff. But do you think that Hard Knocks has kind of run its course, or with them continuing to do things differently, it's going to keep it going?
I'm just the opposite, Jace. I love it. I've watched every one of them going back to the first one. And the reason is it takes me places I can't go. And I can't believe this didn't leak out. The cameras have been following the Giants people around at the combine. How did we not hear about this?
Yeah.
Behind the scenes in their draft rooms and everything. So we're going to get to see things involving the draft, involving the combine, that we have no other way to see. So I'll watch it. I watched the in-season Hard Knocks too. I always tape things and watch it late at night after my wife goes to bed, so I can fast forward through parts I don't like. But I've always thought, because it goes where I can't. That's why I've always liked Hard Knocks. And there's also some personalities you see that you didn't know. You see some people, like, to me, Rex Ryan is the best character they've ever had on Hard Knocks. And so I can't wait. Now we'll have, I guess, training camp. We'll have in season. Plus, the thing about the draft, which is so secretive, I can't wait to see what they put out there about the Giants leading up to the draft and the day of the draft.
I think what I would like to see happen, especially with the training camp one, you know, the traditional one, is they have all these criteria and rules, and, you know, if you made the playoffs or have a new coach. I wish they'd get rid of that stuff and just tell the teams and the coaches of, like, hey, get over it. This is what we're going to do. Because, I mean, that, you know, like a few years ago, I obviously being here with the Titans, but I would have loved to have seen Vrabel on that. I mean, because he would have hated it, so it would have been great. You know, Belichick, things like that. Could you ever see them, you know, kind of relaxing those rules a little bit just to give us new storylines?
I think they should, but I don't see them doing that. To me, it's like eventually everybody's going to have to play a game overseas. Eventually you're going to lose a home game overseas. Well, you know what? They tell you to do that. They don't give you a choice. Tell teams to be on Hard Knocks. Some teams would be so much more interesting. It stands to reason that if the Cowboys are there, or the Packers, or some of the national teams, the Steelers, you're going to get a bigger audience because they're national teams. And none draws a bigger audience than the Cowboys. I certainly wouldn't want to see Jerry Jones on there every year, and he likes it. But I do think every team should, and I think it's hugely disappointing that they never had Belichick do it, because I'll guarantee you he'd rather have gotten a colonoscopy than have to be on Hard Knocks.
Exactly right. Talking to John McClain on the Chase and Big Joe Show. And John, on Monday we debated about, or yesterday, I'm sorry, Tom Brady came out. It's announced he's going to be calling the Browns game on Fox and everything. Your thoughts on Brady, and I want to ask you this beforehand. You know, remember Joe Montana in the 90s went and did this? He was all hyped, and he lasted 1 year because he refused to criticize other quarterbacks. How do you see Brady and this all playing out with him?
Dan Marino's another one that wasn't any good. I thought everybody that covered the Cowboys told me that Troy Aikman would be terrible. He'd be pablum. And you know what? He'd been playing possum when he was playing all those years, because his answers were usually boring. But then when he got on TV, he learned how to be critical without being a cheap shot artist. So I think Brady, who always wants to excel and will outwork anybody, I think he'll be terrific. And just like Aikman is. The only person I would be more interested in watching as an analyst in the studio or on a game than Brady would be Peyton Manning, because I think Peyton would be great no matter what he does, because he's just such a natural. And I think Brady, the key is they can't fawn all over him like they're doing on game day for Nick Saban. You know, we know how great they were. And, you know, I just make them one of the guys. They're really not. And I think Brady, they got to be really careful when he's doing his deal. You know, give him the floor, but don't be slobbering all over yourself like, oh, we got seven time. We know He's a seven-time Super Bowl champion. Just get on with his job and let him do it.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that you know he wants to be successful. He was a great with a quarterback in the National Football League. But you made a great point, though, about Marino and Montana, because it's a, you know, they've been in that huddle, they've been there, and they didn't want to criticize. And I thought, John, I would have loved to have listened to Montana and Marino, but especially Montana. And he just said, you know, after the 1 year, it's like, I can't do this. I can't criticize everything. At least he got out when he knew he couldn't do it.
And that was a good thing, because he was just awful. And he didn't need the money, but I'm sure it was the biggest challenge, and he couldn't conquer that challenge like he did when he played. And if their heart is not wholly in it, totally in it, don't do it. I feel bad for Greg Olsen. I think Greg Olsen's outstanding. Now he's going to be on the number two team. He's got to take a big pay cut. He's known this for a year, and it's got to gall him that Brady's getting $37.5 million a year, and he's taking a pay cut. And it's Rupert Murdoch's money, and that's fine. But I'm guessing Olsen, when his contract's up, he'll be with another network, and that's going to be a tremendous loss for Fox, because he's outstanding and he is able to criticize. And mostly we want to hear things we don't know, especially strategy. And I don't know what's happened to Tony Romo, who was so good there for a while, predicting things that were going to happen and using his analysis as a quarterback who's watched a film a million times to tell us what's going to happen. And now he doesn't do that anymore like he used to, for whatever reason.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Real quick, did you ever think you'd see the day when a Detroit Lion quarterback would be making $53 million a year, John?
Absolutely not. When Jared Goff was a throw-in on that trade, they thought they'd keep him a couple of years, and then they would use their first pick the year after the trade to get the heir apparent. It's one of the all-time success stories. Good for him. Good for the Lions. He's earned it. You know, he's been a good soldier. He's a perfect for that offense. I'm happy for Jared Goff and Dan Campbell.
John, before we let you go, we're going to have Jeff Fisher on the show in about 5 minutes. He was named the interim commissioner of the Arena Football League yesterday. We've obviously been dealing with him and working with the Cats. But what are your thoughts on that and trying to right the ship with the AFL with Jeff Fisher at the helm?
Well, first of all, Jeff is a really, really smart guy. When he was on the competition committee, he knew every rule. When they had meetings with the media after the big spring meetings, and he and Rich McKay were co-chairs. If you asked Jeff a question about anything involving competition, he knew the answer. I can't imagine they'd have somebody better than Jeff Fisher, who's one of my all-time favorite guys. Tell him I said hello, please.
We will do that for sure. John, thanks as always for joining us. We'll do it again next week.
Guys, thank you very much. I look forward to seeing the schedule for when the Texans and Titans have their two games.
Joe and I might have to make a trip to Houston.
I hope you do. I'll make sure you're entertained very well.
Nice. Thanks, John. Appreciate it. John McClain joining us as he does every Wednesday at 9:30. That would be fun.
Put us up at the Motel 6.
I've never been to Houston.
That's a different city. Yeah. You think Nashville traffic's bad.
Yeah. Nah, it'd be fun for sure.